Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 41st week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
In verse number 27, the boys grew. Esau was a cunning hunter. He loved to hunt, a man of the field. Now, the word cunning means skillful. He knew how to hunt. And the only other hunter mentioned in Scripture is who? Nimrod. He's called the mighty hunter. And both of those guys were two bad men. And here I'm going hunting this week. Now, I don't know if I'm a skillful hunter or not, you know. I heard Gina over there, she said, "Hope you don't kill a thing." I saw her lips moving, you know. Anyway, it's amazing that those two hunters mentioned, Nimrod, a mighty hunter, and then you got Esau, who was a skillful hunter. Both of them were worldly men. Interesting. He was a man of the plain, the Bible says. Literally, he was an outdoor man. Gives us a picture. He was always gone from home as compared to Jacob, when it says, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. You see the contrast. Esau was always out there, outdoors, with, you know, whatever he was doing outdoors. The Bible says he's a man of the plains. He lived for the outdoors. Nothing wrong with that. But yet we see the contrast between him and Jacob. That it says Jacob was a plain man of the tent. Now, the word plain here does not mean common. There's a lot of commentaries and a lot of people who says that he was a mama's boy. That's not what this means at all. What this literally means, the word plain, it means he's a complete man. He was a perfect man. He was an upright man. It's the same word that is used in Job chapter 1, verse number 1. Remember the story of Job, where Satan had approached God about Job, and God said, "Hey, have you not considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man." That's the same word here. He's mature. He's complete. He was well-rounded, so to speak, in today's language. That's how Jacob was. He was well-rounded. He was complete. He was very mature. And the Bible says in verse number 27, dwelling in tents. Preacher, what does that mean? That does not mean he was a homemaker. That's why people get confused. What it does mean, he had his priorities straight, and he stayed at home caring for his family. He cared for his family, and that's the contrast. Esau was always gone, doing his thing, and Jacob was home caring for his family. He dwelled in tents, plural, okay? He helped his family. I could see him helping his dad with the sheep, with the flocks, whatever else he had. Whatever needed to be done around the house, Jacob was there, okay? Well, it becomes a real problem because in verse number 28, it tells us this. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So this tells us a little bit about their childhood, as a picture, if you will, of them growing up, how each parent had a favorite child, and it created a big problem. Now, let that sink in, mom and dad, okay? And I have seven of them, and all the time the kids are saying, "I'm your favorite, ain't I, Dad? I'm your favorite." I mean, around one another. And I just smile. I say, "I love you all." You can't show favoritism around the kids, okay? Now, you might inside have a little bit leaning toward one or the other, but you sure can't show it. Rebekah and Isaac showed it. Because the Bible tells us that in verse 28 that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. Boy, Esau was going all the time and kill the deer or whatever he killed, bring home to Dad. And boy, Dad sure enjoyed that. Nothing wrong with that. But the point was that Isaac favored Esau while Rebekah favored Jacob, and it created a problem. Remember, they're already fighting from the womb. They're fighting probably during their childhood days. Mama loves me more. Well, Daddy loves me more. And I can see them going back and forth and back and forth. Well, in verse number 29, through verse number 34, we see that Esau sells his birthright. He sells his birthright. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I'm faint." Therefore, his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day my birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" He wasn't starving to death. We get this. Remember, he's a cunning hunter. I mean, he's skillful in hunting. The picture is, if you get the story straight, he's not starving to death, but yet he was hungry, and obviously Jacob could cook. Obviously he could cook, and he just wanted something to eat. And we get to the end of the story. The material things were far more valuable than the spiritual things to Esau. That's the point of this. Okay, the material thing was worth far more than the spiritual importance of a birthright. As a matter of fact, customarily, the eldest son received the double portion of an inheritance back in those days. Matter of fact, biblically, we see it's mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter number 21, verse number 17. It says this: "But he shall acknowledge by giving him," about the firstborn, "by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of the strength. The right of the firstborn is his." So normally the firstborn in the family, you're well aware of this, would normally not just receive inheritance, he would receive the double portion of whatever his inheritance would be. Well, but the father had the privilege of transferring it from the eldest to another more deserving. In other words, the father could change that at any time. He wasn't holding to that. It was custom for them to give to the eldest, but it depends how the eldest acted. What kind of character did he have? What kind of person was the eldest son? Because we read in 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright," speaking of Reuben, "was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and his genealogy is not to be reckoned as after the birthright." So we see that Reuben was the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, the Bible tells us, that birthright transferred, and we see in 1 Chronicles chapter number 5, to Joseph. Interesting that all that is entailed about the birthright. But we see that Esau sold his birthright because he was more concerned with the here and now than the future. Matter of fact, verse number 32, when it says that, "Behold, I'm at the point of dying," literally what he's saying, "I'm going to die anyway. So what's the use of this birthright? I'm going to die anyway." He wasn't talking about dying that day. He was looking, I just want it now. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The son said, "I want it now." And the eldest stayed back. And well, that's a whole other story. You get a picture of that where he received, "I want it now." Well, that's what Esau wanted. He wanted something now. Well, because of that, verse number 30 is interesting. People called Esau Edom, red, as the Bible tells us, because he took that red pottage, the red bean. Can you imagine eating red beans? Lentils. Red beans, sold it, gave his birthright away for a pot of red beans. Now, Latrice last week made a pot of red beans and rice. It was so good. It was really good. Okay? Red beans and rice. Now, I don't know if it was good as Jacob's, as good as what Latrice made last week, but I can understand. Well, that's good stuff. A little pepper sauce on it, a little hot sauce on it. It goes a long way. But because of that, we see that his name was called Edom.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come see us for our World Missions Conference. Beginning Sunday night, January 24th, the Rochester family will be with us at 6 p.m. Then, Monday through Friday, we'll have special services at 7 p.m. with great preaching and music. And then, on Saturday, January 30th, at 6 p.m., the Tribute Quartet will be with us. You don't want to miss these events. We hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.